This is the Jason Greger Show podcast presented by Lakewood Chevrolet. Good people, great service, and also voted the number one dealer in Canada at dealerrater.ca. Check them out, lakewoodchev.com. Shogger, give me your thoughts, first of all, on PK Subban last night in Montreal.
My thoughts? I don't know. Does anybody have anything negative to say about it?
Well, I never said it has to be negative. Why do thoughts have to be negative?
Okay. Well, I don't know. Just wondering. Well, I thought the Habs did a nice job honoring them. They always do a nice job with those things. They're a classy organization in that regard. That building is always, the atmosphere in that building is always very special. And on big nights, and I've been there for a few of them, they really know how to kick it up a notch. So I thought the tribute was nice. I thought PK had some real, legitimate, genuine emotion happening. And yeah, I thought they handled it well. It was good. And you know what? Like, look, PK is like, you know, he's loud. He does things loud. He dresses loud. He plays the game loud. He practices loud. I mean, he does loud media availabilities, and he just, everything he does with some, you know, a little bit of swagger to him. So, I mean, it's just always going to be that way with him, but it's not a bad thing. Lots of personality there. And I thought the emotion was genuine. I like the fans, that they gave him a wonderful ovation and then booed him like they should, and off he goes. So I was all good with the man. I didn't have anything negative to say about it.
Well, no, I think it'd be hard to find anything negative. I just, being in that building, like I've seen other cities that do it, they honor their players. It just, it sounds different there. I don't know if they just pick better musical selections or something, but it just has a different aura.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I've covered that team a few years in the playoffs. Holy smokes. I mean, they ramp it up in there in a big way. Like, they have absolutely perfected the use of their lights, their lasers, their music, their graphics, their video production. It's all just a well-oiled machine there, and it all adds up to this feel of now, I haven't covered a lot of regular season games there, so I don't know what games 37 through 54 are like. I was there in the playoffs, and every building's going to be a little bit more energized. So let's be fair about the comparison. But yeah, they still do it right, and they know how to use all of the assets they have in that building. So I think it'll get better with time here at Edmonton. I think that the crew is still learning how to use all of the bells and whistles that they have, and still learning how to put the productions together. And I think it'll get better with time.
Speaking of getting better with time, the Oilers obviously want to get better down the stretch, which would be saying a lot, considering they're a team that's, you know, basically on pace to be a 97-98 point team, which would be fantastic for them. Meanwhile, Detroit's going the absolute other direction, which is rare to see. Well, never, you know, for most of us, never seen it. Not in my covering the Red Wings professional career, I've never not seen them in the postseason. They've obviously been slowly dropping down the last few seasons. They play in Calgary tonight. The Oilers, it's an 8-game homestand, and you know, theoretically they've been better on the road all year than at home, although lately they're starting to pick it up. But like, I know it's only one game, and one game doesn't affect a whole stand, but considering how they only play three times in 10 games here, basically since they played in St. Louis, like, I think this is a big game, because you can't lose 2 points to a team that's as bad as Detroit.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think that's accurate, and I think the question still remains a little bit about the Oilers right now. You know, which way are they going? And I think they need to prove to themselves that they're going in the right direction. So they beat Philadelphia, you know, they beat Arizona, they beat Chicago, they lose to Tampa, they get past Florida, lose to Washington. Like, they're kind of a couple wins, couple losses. You know, that St. Louis win was a big one for them, because I think that was they needed to win that game to salvage that road trip and to feel really good about that road trip. And they went out and they did what they had to do to win that game. So that, to me, that showed me something. Now, you got teams coming in here, these next couple that, you know, not looking ahead to Pittsburgh will be important, but these next couple of teams, these are teams that they should be able to beat. And so to sort of prove that they're going in the right direction, they're very well rested, and they're fairly healthy. And there's no reason why they shouldn't be able to get through these teams and prove to themselves that, yes, they are going to finish strong and push San Jose, not try and fend off Calgary.
Yeah, I think it's going to be tough to push San Jose, to be honest, 7 points behind them right now, and the Sharks still have a game in hand, but it's the Ducks and the Flames, and really that's the Oilers have put themselves in a position where if they don't finish second, now it won't be the end of the world, of course, because making the playoffs would still be a big accomplishment, but I think it'd be a slight disappointment if the Oilers don't finish second, considering their home record, who they play, quality of opposition, days rest, everything else in the final 18. They've put themselves in a great spot. Now they just have to take advantage of it.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I think their game is, like, now we're going to see Todd refine kind of the fine details in their game. What they have is they have a head coach who's very, very experienced at this position they're in right now, which is really good regular season, get through the trade deadline, right? Not a ton of changes made, core group intact, and now they huddle and as a group figure out how to fine-tune their game, get better as a group from here to the finish line. And now it's almost like, not that I know a lot about NASCAR, but I do know they want those engines running perfect on the perfect day. And that's what Todd's challenge is going to be. He's got a month here with this team to fine tune the engine and get it running in exactly the right way come playoff time. And so you have a coach that's got lots of experience guiding a team in, landing the plane, and getting them into the playoffs and having them fine-tuned. So it'll be interesting to watch the way Todd coaches, the way what he tries to bring out in his team. He mentioned today he's put a few new wrinkles in that they might need down the road. He'll start to implement stuff now, add clubs to their bag, right, so that they can lean back on different tactics if they need to use them in the playoffs. He's got lots of experience in this month in this very situation, and I think that's really going to greatly benefit this group.
Yeah, I asked McClellan that question about, because the Oilers have so much, extra is probably a strange word, but comparatively to the earlier part of the season and then even the final month, they're in a stretch now where he's got a lot more playoff practicing time. And it was interesting how he said, yeah, we've implemented some things that we might not use right away, but we'll probably want to use down the stretch or into the playoffs. Because when the playoffs come, you don't practice very much, right? You play, some guys go out for a loop-de-loop skate on the days in between, but for the most part, you're just playing games and conserving energy. And so now's the time to get in some other little wrinkles that you have. So when he brings them back up in film work, they'll be like, oh yeah, we did that in practice.
Exactly. Yeah, for sure. And so... a good coach will do that. They sort of plant the seed and they use their practice time to implement these things, though. I mean, I know they worked in a couple of new wrinkles on the penalty kill in practice yesterday. I wasn't down there today, so I don't know specifically what they worked on, but it sounds like they maybe put a few other wrinkles in place and just different looks. And I think it's important to have a coach who understands what is and isn't doable in this time. He's probably tried things in the past that didn't or didn't work, had some successes and failures. I think a lot changes once you get through the trade deadline and your team is your team and you're staring down the barrel of making the playoffs. I think as a group, you huddle and you come together and you start to really maybe think and act as much as a team as you would have at any point during the year. They truly will huddle and become a group now, pushing towards the playoffs. And they've got a guy that has been there, watched his teams do it, understands what buttons to push, how to make sure, like, did you notice what he said yesterday when I was talking to him about Jordan Eberle specifically? Clean slate. He said clean slate. I was wondering if that might be something that you do after the trade deadline. You use that trade deadline, the stress of that opportunity to sit down with your players and say, listen, nothing matters up to this point in the year. This is a clean slate. From now on, it's playoff caliber hockey, clean slate for everybody. So Pouliot, you're the third line left winger. Eberle, you stay the second line right winger. And you just, everybody gets this feeling of a nice clean slate and a new season refreshed. And Todd will know when to push those buttons with different guys.
Well, and that's going to be the real part of coaching now. And you can kind of, I think the value of certain coaches at certain times definitely will change.
Absolutely.
Did you happen to catch any of the LA-Toronto game last night?
No, I didn't. Okay. No, I was engaged in some family stuff. But it's interesting.
Well, you saw Toronto again get off to a good lead. And that's a team that, No, I think one thing, I was still surprised when I watched Toronto and I saw the moves they made at the deadline. I was surprised they didn't add defensemen because, you know, yeah, hey, Boyle obviously paid dividends on the first goal. When the draw gets an assist, away they go. But that team's defense is it might cost them a playoff spot because they give up two-goal leads more than anyone.
Yeah, well, and it's funny. Like, they need to make the same decision that the Oilers needed to make, which was, where are you in your curve? Where are you in your development curve as a group, in your development curve as an organization, assets, draft picks, all those things? What can you afford to give up of the future to try and give your team a boost in the present? And I think much more so than the Edmonton Oilers, the Toronto Maple Leafs are playing with house money this year. I really believe that even more than the Oilers. I think people thought the Oilers would potentially be able to compete for a playoff spot, and maybe if they were lucky, get in. Toronto, this was still rebuild time. And so, you know, their willingness to give up future assets on rentals to put guys in place that might be short-term guys, I think they, as a group, feel like they're playing with house money and are okay letting it ride a little bit and relying on some guys within the organization to see what they can do. And maybe in the next year or two, maybe it's after next season, where they really push more chips into the middle.
Shauger, we appreciate your time. Have a good weekend. Enjoy the game.
Okay, sounds good, buddy. Have a great weekend. We'll see you down the rink.
You bet. Ryan Rashog from TSN. That's a Rashog Report brought to you by Auto City Edmonton, St. Albert Trail, and 131st Avenue.